This is the Real Talk University podcast, where your hosts, Andre and Christian, explore success stories outside of the classroom.
What is up? What is up, Real Talk fam? Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to today's episode of the podcast. Hope you guys are all out there crushing summer 2019. Today, we bring you an interview with Dakota Schuetz, who basically makes a living by doing freestyle scootering, which I thought was super cool. And it was really interesting because, you know, I never thought there was actually a niche for scootering and professional scooter riders. And it's cool just to hear how Kota, he goes by the name Kota, K-O-T-A, if you want to look him up on Instagram, Twitter, wherever else. He basically started this niche on his own when he was 10. He started competing in competitions, and he basically grew the sport organically through his YouTube channel and through Instagram and viral videos on Facebook and whatnot. So it was really cool to hear his story and hear how, you know, all of his hard work and determination were put forth to build this new sport and to build a new audience for scooter enthusiasts. And it was just a cool conversation because it basically shows you that you can accomplish anything you set out to do. I mean, literally anything that you can imagine or dream of is achievable if you just go out and actually do what's necessary to get it done. And you'll hear that throughout the interview with Dakota talking about, you know, just doing what's necessary in terms of focusing on some competitions where, you know, take some time off of school, all that kind of stuff. So it was really interesting to hear. Again, it's just a niche that you probably never knew existed. So I think you guys will really enjoy and appreciate this episode. And again, we do this podcast for you guys, the audience, and all we ask in return is for you guys to share this with your friends, leave a review, engage on social media. It's Real Talk Uni Podcast on Instagram and Real Talk Uni on Twitter. Just let us know your thoughts. It's that simple. Leave a comment on our latest post, just maybe a summary or one takeaway from this episode. We really appreciate to hear from you guys. So sit back and relax and enjoy this great episode with Dakota Schuetz. How's it going, Real Talk fam? I just wanted to jump in here real quick before we start this new episode of Real Talk University with an offer that Christian and I have put together for you guys. Basically, as a thank you for listening and tuning into all of our episodes and supporting us along the way so far. So what we put together is the Podcast Blueprint ebook, which you'll have access to for free. Absolutely free. This is a downloadable PDF containing all the information, actionable steps, tips, resources, everything you need to launch your very own successful podcast in 30 days or less, exactly how Christian and I have done so. After reading our ebook, you'll be able to launch your own podcast today, book your dream guest for your interviews, and get ads and sponsors immediately. To claim your free copy today, visit the link at bit.ly/RTU ebook. That's bit.ly/RTU ebook. EBOOK. Get your free copy today before this offer expires. Okay, cool. So I'm Andre and I'm here with Christian. This is Real Talk University. So basically our story is that we're two college freshmen, and recently, like 5 months ago, we decided to start a podcast to show people that go to college and our classmates and in our age group that, like, there's opportunity to, you know, pursue your passion and make a living out of it. So obviously you fit that criteria because you do something really unique, and so that's why we invite you on the show. So I'm going to hand it off to Christian to basically start you off with a few questions. But we really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Sweet. So first, we like to start out with a little game. We do two truths and a lie. So if you just give us three statements and have one of them be false, we'll try to pick out the lie from the group.
Okay. I like traveling. I like driving fast cars. And I like cricket.
I think we know. I think you don't like cricket, obviously.
No. Yeah, it's good, though. Well, where are you guys based? What state?
We're in New York, upstate New York, about 2.5 hours northwest of New York City, near the Pennsylvania border.
Okay, cool.
Yep. All right, so could you just tell us who you are, what you're about, and what you're currently up to for the audience out there that might not be familiar with you?
Yep. So my name is Dakota Schitz. I'm 23 years old. I've been riding professional scooters since I was 10. I've got to travel the world and basically help build the sport of freestyle scootering since I was a kid, and it's really cool to see what it's come about. And now I've like kind of built and sold and ran a bunch of different businesses since I was 11. So I have a lot of experience in a lot of different areas of life.
Wow. Awesome. So what did you start when you were 11?
When I was 11, I started scootering when I was 10. So I kind of needed something to fund my scootering, not fund it, but like make sense. So I started riding scooters when I was 10. And then I got sponsored. So I used that money when I got sponsored by a company. I don't remember. It must have been like a couple hundred dollars a month. And I took that money and went and bought scooter parts that was like an hour away, which nobody at this time was selling anything in my area. I brought them to my school. And then I'd like take orders, go buy the parts, and then drop them off. And I'd do that every week. And then it got really successful. I almost got kicked out of school twice. so that was cool. And then we had like every Wednesday night at my church, they had a skate park, and I brought kind of like five times the amount of things I sold before to the skate park in my mom's van, and I made like a mobile shop. And every Wednesday I almost sold out. Like, it was a lot for me. Like, I did like $600 or $800 a night every Wednesday just in scooter parts, because I was the only person that sold them in that area. So that was cool. And then from there I made one of the first like online scooter websites. And so I did that for 3 years, and it was one of the most successful online scooter shops when I was, I think, started when I was 12.
Wow. So you've definitely had the entrepreneurial spirit inside of you since you were just a little kid. That's amazing.
Yeah, I just like to always keep moving. Like, I was really good at scootering, but then I like the challenge of a business, and I like that it kind of went along with what I like to do a lot.
Exactly. So when did you discover, like, your passion for freestyle scootering?
I used to go to the skate park all the time, just on everything like bikes, rollerblades, skateboards. And then one day, I think I was like 9 or 10, I went to San Clemente Skate Park in California, and I just saw a kid like just cruising around on a scooter, just doing a few like normal tricks. And at the time, scootering didn't exist. Like today, you go to a skate park and there's like almost every kid's on a scooter. And when I started, there was like zero, but this one kid was doing some cool tricks. And I went home, grabbed my scooter, and the next day met that kid. And then I kind of just progressed pretty rapidly after that, because I was already good at like trampoline and a bunch of gymnastic stuff. So I kind of just like put it in a scooter, and it worked pretty well.
Yeah. So do you think you were kind of like naturally good at all that? Because for me, like if I hop on a trampoline and someone says do a backflip, I'm just going to not be able to do it and probably hurt myself. So have you always just had a knack for like being good with your body in the air and like bodily control and stuff like that?
Yeah, I would say I'm always like, since a little kid, I think I learned a backflip on a trampoline when I was like 5 or 6. It kind of always is in me.
Well, sweet. So you were like in the spotlight at a young age, obviously. So like, how, like, was that ever pressurizing at all? Or how do you like handle that at the time?
I would say at the time, it's not a lot of pressure, but like looking back, I never, like when I see a normal kid's childhood, I'm like, wow, that's cool. Like not that mine wasn't cool, but mine was completely different of like building myself into a machine to do something that I wanted to do, which is that at the time, that's what I wanted to do. Like go win as many competitions as you can, become the best scooter rider. And like, that was the goal. But I would say definitely looking back, there was a lot of pressure, but I put it on myself because I wanted to become what I became. But yeah, I think that's any pro athlete's point of view of if you start as a kid.
Yeah, 100%. It's got to feel good to like look back at that and see, you know, where you've taken everything. It's obviously
definitely. I mean, it definitely paid off, but it's not like, I'm never going to tell anybody it's easy. Like nothing, accomplishing anything good is never easy. Like it took forever. Like, I mean, anybody in business or sports or things, like, you have to believe in the dream more than anything. And that's what I did. And so many people that accomplish cool things do.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the truth. And like, just mentioning that, like, obviously as a kid, a lot of kids that go to school and like are surrounded by friends and whatnot, like they may be pressured to like give up on their dreams or, you know, do like kind of conform to the societal norms. Like, did you ever feel that at all? Or
I would say I'm a lot different because I'm kind of like by not by myself, but I choose not to hang around a lot of people because I had such high aspirations and goals that nobody aligned with me ever. Maybe my dad and a few other, like my brother. But other than that, like I didn't really have tons of friends growing up. But I mean, I understand that like the people you surround yourself with is basically what, like, no matter what anybody says, like that's what you'll turn out like if you hang around them enough. So I would say I never had that influence of like people trying, maybe a few people, but not like every day. It was mostly like me either motivating myself or my dad or somebody that believed in what I was trying to do rather than hanging out with people that just didn't have the same drive as I did.
Definitely. Yeah. No, that's really good. And so you would probably say that like most of your struggles or failures or like pressure would come from like within, really, like you just pushing yourself to, you know, reach your full potential then?
Yeah, I would say in everything. Like to me, everything that I've learned is trial by error, like in a business and in my sport and in life. Like nobody really taught me much. It's kind of just like go for it and see what happens. Because like in my industry, we kind of, like me and a few other people, were able to influence it so much and how we wanted it to go. So it's kind of, there was no rules. So it's kind of just like a free for all, but it's definitely cool to have done that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool because like you just said, you were able to kind of like shape the sport and whatnot, just because not a lot of people were doing it. So how much of your day do you usually dedicate to scootering, would you say?
I would say nowadays it's more like I ride for fun. Like I still love riding and I have scooter brands and things like that, but it's not like when I was a kid, like I don't go to the skate park for like 8 hours and train for something. Like I still love to ride, but I ride for fun rather than trying to, I don't know. I still push myself as much as I did, but it's not for the same reasons, I guess. It's to push myself rather than compete against everybody else, which is a completely different mindset from trying to win competitions versus like pushing yourself. Cause I'd say I know exactly how to win a competition, but that doesn't mean that I'm pushing myself. Cause that could be like a safe run or safe thing of tricks versus like me trying to push the envelope or pushing scootering in a new direction. Like that's what I like to do now.
Right. So speaking of like pushing the envelope, if you're going to attempt like a really hard, like never before done trick, how do you keep the right mindset? Cause obviously there could be physical harm or injury that comes out as a result if you can't land it.
I would say for me, I'm not like a person that just like wings it in anything. Like I'm very calculated and planned. So like, even if I go try a trick, like I thought about the trick for like a week or a month, like in my head, like I ran through every scenario of like what could happen if I do this and that and things like that. So I think it's more like when I go try a new trick, I should be able to land it because I think about it so much and know exactly what should happen if I do everything right.
Right. And then could you just take us through your mindset, like show up to a competition? Do you treat yourself as like the underdog or do you go in knowing that you're the favorite and everyone's out to beat you?
I mean, you don't know me, but I'm not really like, I try to be not like, I guess cocky and talk highly of myself just because I don't really care. But I think, like for me being a competitive person, I always am there to win no matter what. Like it's a good trait and a bad trait because in life, like you can't always be that competitive, I found. But at least in my sport, it worked. And I would say going into every competition that I've been in, I either was going to win or I knew I was going to win. So it's more, I felt more pressure of people expected me to win rather than a question of like, was I going to win? So it's more of like a, I didn't want to let people down because I knew I could do it.
That's awesome. So have you ever had to like land a final run that you knew you needed to do perfectly in order to win because you were like trailing by a few points? Like take us through that kind of pressurized moment.
Yeah, I mean, of course that happens in every sport, in my sport. But I would say I've won a lot of competitions on like broken scooters or scooters that didn't work right. But at the time, like that's all I had. Or like I've done competitions with like a broken knuckle where I had to like tape my hand onto the scooter. I've done competitions where I lost, but something happens and like it's a judge sport, so the judging's always not, it's correct once in a while but not really. Yeah. So you always, like in scootering, you have two runs, so you have like one run, and then it doesn't average together. It's like your best of two runs. And a lot of times I do like a safe run, and then I'd see what everybody else does, and then I had a run that I knew would win if I had to do it. And a lot of cases, every world championship I won on the first run, but there's some competitions lately that I've had to do extra crazy run just to, because I'm judged a lot more harshly because I've accomplished a lot rather than other kids that have just have good tricks. I don't know. It's just me, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then like in golf or baseball, anything like that, like equipment can be a huge advantage. So is that the same case in scootering? Like, do you have to have the top of the line scooter in order to have a good run, or does it depend on the rider really?
I would say like 50-50. Like, I would say the scooter matters only to a certain point, but like if you hand me any scooter, I can always do a good amount of tricks. But then if you get it to where my scooter is, like my scooter is absolutely perfectly made for me, like the geometry, where the weight's balanced. So for me, I'm really picky. So I prefer my scooter to be exactly how I like it.
That's awesome. All right. So when I was just going through YouTube, I noticed like the video about the story of how you were when you grew up. So when you grew up, obviously you had some interest in the arts. You won a couple of really cool art competitions. Could you take us through some of the passions you currently have, whether it's art or anything like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty like artistic person. I just like creating anything. So I started with art when I was a kid, then I moved to music, and I tried to learn as many like cool instruments as I could just because I understood it really easy. And then I moved to action sports, and I got good at action sports. And so now, like, me and my brother have the conversation, like, what do we do? Because we have to like always progress and get good at something. And so we have a fun time building cars now. I don't know. There's so much cool stuff to try. Like, I'm skydiving's next, and there's so much. I would say it always involves adrenaline, because like adrenaline is the biggest fuel that I have fun.
Yeah, and then you talked about like leveling up and like going through change and whatnot. So like when you like come up with these tricks that you do with scootering, like how hard is it to come up with like the next best trick? Because after like you do that, you know, the trick that you just came up with and whatnot, like, is it hard to, like, you know, level up from that?
I would say nowadays it's kind of hard because, like, when I was progressing and, progressing in the sport, I was able to land, like, a lot of the world's first tricks, like, when you land something before anybody else or do, like, the first, double backflip or whatever. So, like, stuff like that was groundbreaking. But now it's more combo tricks where you're just adding another trick to another trick, which is okay, but it's kind of, it just gets repetitive no matter how many tricks you do. So there's always, I just try to think of unique ways to do tricks, or trying to invent a completely new trick that nobody's thought of. It takes forever, but it's definitely possible. It's just, you got to think way outside the box.
Right. That's awesome. And compared to when you first started, how has the sport of scootering kind of evolved since way back then? And then where do you think it's going to go in the future?
Since I started, I mean, I've seen it grow from absolutely nothing, so it's definitely cool to see it go anywhere from here. But now there's international competitions all around the world almost every week. There's world championships, there's like World Cup events, there's so many things going on. So I think the benefit of like what we did in scootering is, like, for so many years we literally just toured the world and went to schools and went to skate parks and like went on TV shows and the news channels and just promoted scootering. Like, it wasn't about promoting a brand, it wasn't about promoting me, it was about like, look at what you can do on a scooter. And I think that heavily impacted scootering all around the world.
Definitely. And like you just mentioned, like the creative side of scootering, like how is that translated to what you do outside of scootering, like with business and entrepreneurship? Like, that's had to help, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think everything's the freedom to create whatever. And I guess scootering is more of like an individual sport, so it's not like you're relying off anybody else. It's, you go to the skate park, you progress as yourself. Same in business. I mean, in business, of course, you need a team of the right people to do different things, but it definitely relates in your mindset and like the drive to accomplish something.
Definitely. Cool. And just switching gears here, like you mentioned that you went on like new channels and we're doing promotions just for the sport. So like how has this like breakthrough with social media, like Instagram, YouTube, and all these other channels that are just popping off, how has that helped you to like take your career to the next level and take the sport to the next level?
I mean, I would say like my career started off YouTube. Like I made maybe one of the first kind of viral scooter videos, and that got around like to every, basically like every kid around the world, like under a certain age, that they saw it somewhere like on TV or something, just because it was one of like the first scooter videos to really make it around the internet. And that was like in 2007. And then I just kept doing cool stuff and content. And then I would say that the reason why scootering is so big is because we had YouTube to fuel it. Like some of the biggest vloggers like were scooter kids, or like some of like scootering is it now, like when I started, it wasn't really a accepted thing. Like I would go to the skate park and it'd be like skateboarders hating because you're not on a skateboard. It's not a bad thing, it's just because you weren't them. But now it's so big that they can't deny it, and it's just amazing how it took over like the action sports world online. Like scootering online is bigger than every action sport.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So we're like, in terms of YouTube today, what does it take to make a viral video? Like I noticed you collabed with Tanner Fox a few times on like a game of Scoot. So what else have you done to really make a video kind of pop off?
I would say with Tanner, at least, like he's just been my friend forever. So I mean, that's just my neighbor. But other than that, I mean, I just try to do cool stuff with different people. Like I'm friends with a lot of F1 drivers and like soccer players and just different athletes around the world that I try to bring scootering into a different like mindset, rather than just make videos to go viral. Like I would rather show scootering and like that everybody's doing it. Like Felipe Massa's kids riding a scooter, Nico Rosberg is on a scooter with me at the skate park. Or like there's so much things you can do rather than just try to make a viral video just to do it. Like I would rather promote the sport in a good light and like a I don't know what the word is, but just like a higher profile image.
Yeah, that's awesome. So who would you say are like some of the cooler people you've been able to meet through your career?
I wouldn't want to make a list, but I mean, I've got to meet like a lot of people. Like I spend a lot of time in Monaco, so a lot of my friends are the highest of sports athletes, or I do a lot of stuff in England and America. So it depends. There's so many people in different industries that are influential for so many different reasons. So I really don't have a list, but I've got to meet like the biggest of people. And the good thing about people that have worked hard in anything is they respect hard work, no matter if it's on a scooter or playing a violin or a business. So like, it's like hard work recognizes hard work and what you've accomplished. So that's always cool to hang out with people that have done cool things.
Yeah, that's definitely awesome. So we just have a few more questions here before we wrap it up with the lightning round. But first, I just want to ask, like when I was a little kid and I used to ride on a Razor scooter and stuff like that, taking a scooter off the ankle is probably one of the worst things I ever experienced. Yeah. So have you felt like any worse pain than taking a scooter to the ankle?
I mean, that's definitely painful, but you get used to it. I would say the reason why it hurts so bad is because like the Razors aren't designed, like they don't have a box side. But the one you had probably had like a razor edge. So that's just like taking, that kills. But no, not much. And especially like people relate like something really painful to that, because that's like the worst pain they felt. It's because it's just straight bone.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So how was your success like at a young age? Obviously you were 10 or 11 when you started to break through. How has that changed your outlook on money or fame? Like, is that still a really high value to you, or do you value other things like relationships and things like that?
I mean, I can put it to you pretty easy, but it's straight up. Like I would say I've got to live every type of life, like had nothing, had everything, seen people that are like billionaires and not happy. So like, I would say that never, like money's cool, but I wouldn't make it the goal. Like I would make like have people that love you around you and have just cool experiences and relationships. And I would say that's the goal rather than cars and things like that. Cause like all those things are cool, but they get old real fast. And it's hard to tell you that unless you don't have it.
Right.
I tell so many people that are like entrepreneurs or all these things that like, I want to be like multimillionaire or have a 10 Ferraris. I'm like, okay, that's great. But like, honestly, once you get it, it's not enough. So I'm going to try to save people time and say, just like chase something else and all those things will come. Just don't chase like money as the goal, or just chase like real things.
Right. That's great advice. I think a lot of people need to hear that, because obviously when you have nothing, you think that getting money will be the key.
I mean, it is like, to a certain point, money is freedom. But other than that, like there's a point where it never stops.
Right. So last question here before the lightning round, what would you say is your next like move? Like, what are you going to do in the future to make yourself keep leveling up past scootering?
I think for me, like I'm still building scootering underneath, but rather than that, like I got to invest in a lot of like startup companies a few years ago. And so I'm involved in like CBD companies, hedge fund, some different like accessory companies. So like other than scootering, I do a lot more than that. But I would say just business in general is fun. And I like buying and selling cars and houses and things like that. So just becoming more of like a business kid, but still like running a sport is the goal.
That's awesome. All right. So before we ask you a few quick questions and get out of here, we just want to ask if you have any questions for us.
I would say like, what's your goal? Not in what's your goals for the podcast, but what's your goals like outside of college?
My goal is to like, since I've been in college, I've realized like the whole point of the business school that I'm in is to just guide you to like an employer or a firm. And I really want to be able to make it on my own and be able to work for myself and travel the world and not work in a cubicle, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that college is great if you're going, okay. So I stopped school when I was 13. So like I never went to past middle school. So I had a lot of time and like I learned everything in the real world, like going to somewhere or like just winging it and going to Paris and having a competition. So like, that's how I learned everything. But I mean, education's great if you can use it, but if you're not going to use it and you're not going to be employed by somebody, I don't understand the point.
Yeah, that's incredible. So obviously you never really received the formal education, but you're incredibly savvy with business. So did you have mentors growing up or someone that obviously guided you through that?
I wouldn't say not really at a young age. No, I just kind of just did it. I mean, my dad helped me just with some stuff, but I would say like, I didn't get any like business mentor maybe until like a couple years ago after I did a lot of stuff. It was kind of just like, I just went for it. That's why I said a trial by error. Like I did everything just because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah. Well, I think, but that's just the way to do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, but now like you could learn from me or learn from other people that have already done it, and they could say like, don't do this or don't do that. There's so many ways that you can speed up your time.
Right. That's kind of the aim of why we do the podcast, really, to learn the best ways of doing business, basically.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely like traveling will, like, obviously it costs money and whatever, but I think it's the best investment people can do, because you could see how different people live everywhere. Like I can go to Thailand and people appreciate life more than in California, because like, in California, everybody wants more. In Thailand, they're happy with like rice. Like, so you have to travel kind of to appreciate normal life, I think.
Yeah. That's, I think, like, adding on to what Christian said to your question, like, the whole goal outside of the podcast is kind of, like, stemming off the podcast. Like, showing people, like our, I think my passion is just, like, showing people, like, they can achieve more, like, than what's already there.
I mean, like, the goal, like, if you have the platform, the goal is to inspire people to just motivate themselves. Because, like, everybody is born with a purpose, no matter if you like it or not. Like, you're good at something, or you're blessed with something that nobody else has. So like, if you can teach people to use that and inspire people, like that's all I'm trying to do. Like, even if it's through a scooter or a business, like that's the goal of my life, is just inspire people to like go for it. That's it.
Yeah. And you're just 23 and you're crushing it. So keep it up, man. So yeah, like the lightning round is just like three quick questions. So if you could just recall like the worst advice and the best advice you've ever received.
I would say the worst advice, maybe like just around money, like money makes people happy. I believe that to a certain extent, but not really. And then best advice would be, do what makes you happy.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so, like, our show is around obviously finding opportunities outside of the classroom. So we just try to get a recommendation from all of our guests for, like, the top side hustle or something to do on the side for, you know, kids in college or in school or just getting out of school. Like, if you just look at entrepreneurship in general, is there anything that, like, caught your eye, like dropshipping, social media branding, anything like that, if you had anything?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the last few years was the dropshipping years. I don't know how much it's going to last. It will always last, but I think it's really saturated. So, I mean, I would say no matter who you are, you kind of need to go work for somebody or go, like, realize what work is and then make money and then use that money to do something else. Like, that's at least how I did it. Like, I worked one day for somebody and I stacked log for 2 hours and I got $12 and I never worked for somebody again. So, like, I would recommend doing that to realize, you could do it for longer than that just to learn work ethic and things like that, because a lot of people won't have the experience that I had as a kid.
Yeah, no doubt. Everyone has, like, their own pathway, which is cool. So the last question is just, what would you put on a billboard if the whole world could see it?
That's a good question. I would say dream big.
Yeah, that's nice.
Simple enough. Makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like I've done stuff people couldn't believe in my life just because, like, I believed so much in the dream or being a world champion or traveling the world just for fun. Like, there's so much stuff. If you just, you want it bad enough and just put the right things together, you should. I mean, it's not going to be easy, like, in any sense, because I think everybody thinks it's just going to be like, oh, I'm going to be an entrepreneur or I'm going to be an athlete. It's going to be simple. Like, they're just, you can't be willing to give up in anything. And it's hard sometimes, but if you push through it, it's worth it.
No doubt. Well, we appreciate you taking the time, man. Learned a lot. It's just super dope what you're doing. So,
yeah, thanks for the time. If you ever want to have another episode, or maybe I'll come to New York sometime. I'm always everywhere. So just keep up with me on Instagram and then we'll figure out some cool stuff to do someday.
Absolutely, sure, man. Love to do a little in-person collab in the future.
Awesome. Cool. Sounds good.
All right. Sweet. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Cool. See you later.
Hey guys, show some love for the Real Talk University podcast by subscribing and leaving a review on the Apple Podcast app. See you all next week.